A Tale Dark and Grim, Book 1. The Seven Swallows. Once upon a time, a man lived with his wife and seven sons in a cozy little hut in the middle of a small village. The sons were strong and good, and the wife was kind and loving, and you would think that they would be a very happy family, and, for the most part, you would think right. But the father wasn't quite as happy as he could have been. You see, he wished for a daughter more than anything in the world. But since he and his wife had tried for one 7 times and failed each time, he was now resigned never to get his wish. Imagine his surprise then when one evening a boy and a girl knocked on his door and asked if they could come and live with him. They explained that they had run away from 2 different homes together, one where their parents had cut off their heads, and the other where a wicked woman had tried to eat them. The man nodded at them like you nod at crazy people. But, they said, when they saw this cozy little house in the center of the village, with candlelight flickering in every window, they decided that it was a better house for a family than either a palace or a cake house, and that any parents who lived inside would probably love them and not try to hurt them. So they had decided that they would like to live there for the rest of their days, if that was okay with the man and his wife. Well, the man was delighted. Maybe their heads really had been cut off. So what? Who cared? He breathlessly ushered in Hansel and Gretel, for that's who they were, of course, and told his wife to prepare them dinner. Then he ran to tell his 7 sons to go to the town well for water for the bath. "Who's taking a bath?" the eldest one asked. "Your new brother and sister," the father shouted with joy. "Now hurry!" The boys were puzzled by this, certainly, but they knew their father had a terrible temper when he was angry, and were afraid to displease him, so together they hoisted the great wooden tub onto their shoulders and ran to the well. The man's wife laid a steaming plate of boiled meat and potatoes before the children. Gretel hesitated. "Will we have to do chores if we live here with you?" she asked. The woman was kind but firm when she said, "You will." "And go to school?" "Of course," the woman scolded. "Good." Gretel thanked the woman for the food, and she and Hansel, slowly and not at all greedily, began to eat. Meanwhile, the father wondered where his new children's bath could be, for the 7 brothers, in their haste not to displease their father, had lost their grip on the tub and sent it tumbling into the well. "He'll be furious," the eldest whispered, while the youngest cried, "He'll beat us for certain." They crowded around the well, wondering what they should do. At home, their father was getting more impatient by the minute. "Where are those foolish boys?" he whispered to his wife as she worked in the kitchen. "Our new daughter and son will be wanting their bath at any moment." When, a short time later, the boys still were not home, the man swore and said, "They are useless. I wish they would all just turn into birds and fly away." At that very moment in the village, the 7 boys turned into 7 swallows and wheeled into the evening air. They flew past their house's kitchen window before disappearing into the nearby wood. The woman saw this and turned on her husband in a fury, but he said it was all for the best, and that they had always wanted a daughter more anyway, and he made her promise never to tell their new children what had happened. For, he said, what good could come of their knowing? Reluctantly, and with tears in her eyes, his wife agreed. At first, things were fine in the cozy little house. Hansel and Gretel's new parents were very kind, and always took especially good care of Gretel. But the children soon began to worry. Their new father was happy, but their mother seemed to bear a great sadness with her wherever she went. Gretel, in particular, loved her new mother very much. She could not stand to see her so upset. "Tell me, mother," she would say, "tell me what's wrong." But always her mother would pretend to laugh and shoo her away. There were other strange things that Hansel and Gretel began to notice. Their room had 7 beds in it, and more than once they asked their new parents what these 7 beds were for. Their parents told them it had been a guest room before Hansel and Gretel had come to live there, but Gretel didn't believe them. "Who has 7 guests all at once, and makes them sleep in the same room?" Gretel wondered out loud. Hansel was less worried. Once he came upon their new father staring at the 7 empty beds in their room with a tear hanging from the end of his nose. But he didn't know what to make of it. Besides, he was happy to be in a place where your father wouldn't cut off your head and your mother wouldn't try to eat you. But Gretel grew more and more uncomfortable living there. She heard whisperings about the town. "Oh, nice children, yes, but such a sacrifice. All 7 sons at once." And she wondered more and more about their new mother's sadness. In time, one of the children of the town told Gretel the whole story, and a few other children, wide-eyed and earnest, confirmed it. Everyone in a little town knows everything about everybody. "We can't live here anymore," she implored her brother that night. "It's our fault that the boys were turned into swallows. We must do something." Hansel was devastated. "Aren't there any good parents in all the wide world?" he muttered. "It's my fault," Gretel said, for the children had told her how badly the father wanted a daughter. "He did it because of me." She turned to Hansel. "We've got to find them."
"What, who?"
"The swallows."
"How are we going to find 7 little birds out there?" he said,
and gestured at the window of their room. The gesture was so weak and small that it made "out there" seem utterly unconquerable. Gretel didn't know, but she did know that they had to try, otherwise her heart would break from guilt. Hansel didn't think they had any hope of finding them, but he had suddenly begun to worry that this new father would wish him into a swallow too, so he agreed to go and try. When the night was heavy and their new parents were asleep, Hansel and Gretel slipped out into the darkness to find the 7 swallows. They walked all night and all the next day and all the next night.
"I still don't know how we're going to find them," Hansel sighed.
Gretel shook her head, but as the sun came up the next morning, dazzling their eyes, Gretel said, "I know, the sun. She sees us everywhere we go. She must know what happened to the 7 swallow boys. Let's ask her." Hansel thought she was crazy. On the other hand, he didn't have any better ideas. So Hansel and Gretel climbed the tallest tree they could find until they were right up near the sun. They tried to speak to her, but she was too hot and terrible. They had to hide their faces. Hansel tugged on Gretel's shirt.
"I think she eats children," Hansel whispered.
Gretel thought he was probably right. They climbed back down the tree and started walking again. That evening, as the moon rose above the trees, Gretel said,
"The moon sees us just as much as the sun, and he's not so hot and terrible. Let's go and ask him."
So they climbed the tallest tree and got as near as they dared to the moon. The moon wasn't hot and terrible. Instead, he was cold and creepy.
"Fee-fi-fo-fish, I think I smell child flesh," he said.
Hansel and Gretel hurried down the tree quickly as they could. Yes, the moon really did say that. No, I don't think the moon ate people either, but it says so right in the original Grimm, and I looked it up.
it's true. Scared and dejected, Hansel and Gretel walked on until they came to a beautiful lake that shimmered in the starlight.
"We've been walking forever," Hansel said. "We'll never find them. Can't we just give up?"
But Gretel's guilt was bubbling like a boiling pot inside her. "It's my fault that our new mother's sons have disappeared," Gretel moaned. She began to weep, and her tears fell into the shimmering lake. When they landed, they shook the reflection of the stars on the water, waking them from their glittering sleep.
"Whose tears have woken us?" the stars asked.
At first, Hansel and Gretel were scared. Did stars eat children too? But the shining stars seemed far nicer than the blistering sun or the creepy moon. So Gretel told the stars all her troubles.
"We've seen the 7 swallows flying," the stars said. "They live in the Crystal Mountain. You can save them, but it will take great courage and sacrifice. The mountain is months of hard travel from here. If you decide to go, take this chicken bone with you. It will open the door to the Crystal Mountain and let the 7 swallows out."
Just then, the children noticed a chicken bone beneath the surface of the water, at the edge of the pool. Hansel did not want to go.
"Months," he bleated.
But Gretel said, "Please, Hansel," and she grabbed his arm and held it tight. At first, Hansel resisted, but once he saw that his sister would not change her mind, and that he was losing feeling in his arm, he reluctantly agreed to go. So Gretel put the chicken bone in her pocket, and the 2 children journeyed for a month and a day, and then another, and then another. They passed through dark forests and sunny fields, blazing deserts and muck-filled swamps. They grew much during their travels, and became strong and lean from hardship and perseverance. Gretel carried her smoldering guilt with her always, but it was bearable so long as she knew she was doing something about it. Finally, they came to a massive mountain range and proceeded through the whipping snow and wind. The peaks of the mountains rose up white and sharp all around them, like the craggy teeth of some stone beast. Above, the sky was pale and clear, but so, so cold. Their cheeks became red and chapped, their lips blue with frostbite. Hansel wanted to turn back, but Gretel would not let him. After days and days of climbing, they finally arrived at the Crystal Mountain. It was tremendous, the most wonderful thing they had ever seen. Its crystalline crags rose straight up from the ice and snow that lay at its base. Kestrels and merlins twirled around its peaks, screaming to the skies.
"It's beautiful," Hansel murmured,
and Gretel nodded wordlessly.
"At last," he said, "I couldn't have gone any farther."
Before them was an enormous door made of ice, with a keyhole just about the width of a finger or a chicken bone. Gretel reached into her pocket. She found nothing. She reached down farther, and farther, and farther, until she felt the cold alpine air swirling around one of her fingers. She had a hole in her pocket. She had lost the bone. They looked all around for it.
"When did you last have it?" Hansel asked. "Last night? The night before?"
But Gretel couldn't remember, and she became more and more afraid. Soon she collapsed on the ground and sobbed until her little body nearly broke.
"All these months," she wept, "for nothing. What I've taken you through, and I've failed our new mother."
Hansel wrapped Gretel up in their traveling cloaks and, as the night came on, lay down beside her to sleep. But Gretel could not sleep.
After many an hour, her tears subsided, but still she could only think of her failure. Her guilt burned her like the scouring wind, and then the stars came out and reminded her of her failure again, and she felt so guilty, so foolish, so worthless, that she could not even look at them. Near daybreak, she looked down the long path that she and Hansel had trod. They would have to go back now, having accomplished nothing. Months and months more of suffering, and all the while, her guilt would throb inside of her. Suddenly, Gretel ran to the door of the Crystal Mountain and began to bang with all her might, pleading to be let in. She banged so hard, in fact, that she cut herself on a shard of ice. She woke her sleeping brother, who offered to tend to her wound, but she refused. "I'd rather make it worse," she said. She picked up a sliver of ice as sharp as a knife and brought it down on her middle finger, severing it from her hand. Hansel stared, aghast. Gretel's face was white, and her voice trembled when she said, "Now I can make things right." She was bleeding swiftly from where the finger used to be, but she stood and walked, resolute and grim, to the door of the mountain. She picked up the finger, slid it into the keyhole, and turned it. The door opened. I'm sorry, I wish I could have skipped this part, I really do. Gretel cutting off her own finger and putting it into a keyhole? If there was any question about the truth of this part of the story, I would have left it out altogether. Maybe she could have found another chicken bone, or maybe, if she wished hard enough and said some magic word, the door could have opened on its own. But there's no doubt about the finger. Besides, if I left it out, you'd be wondering why Gretel had only 9 fingers at the end of this book. Which reminds me of another question you're probably asking. Why did the door open? I don't know. A finger is enough like a chicken bone, I guess? Why a chicken bone even in the first place? Again, I don't know. I have no idea why either a chicken bone or a finger should open the Crystal Mountain. As for the location of the Crystal Mountain, that's quite clear. And if you have any interest, I'd be happy to share it with you. Just write me. Now I've got to say something about cutting off one's own finger, in case any young children are still reading or hearing this tale, which would be almost beyond belief, given all of the terrible things that have happened so far. Cutting off your own finger, my young friends, is about the stupidest thing you could do. Don't do it. You won't be able to open anything with your finger. Only Gretel could. Why? I've already told you. I don't know. Though it may have something to do with sacrifice. As the door swung open, a storm of brown wings knocked the children back onto the snow, and 7 swallows swirled out of the mountain. They settled on the ground, their black eyes studying Hansel and Gretel curiously. "It didn't work," Gretel said incredulously, her bleeding hand really beginning to hurt. Hansel watched the swallows walk mutely around on the white snow. He didn't know what to say. They were still birds. He wanted to cry. After a few moments of painful, confused silence, Gretel bent down beside the smallest swallow. "It's time to go home, little bird," she said. "Your mother misses you." The swallow held her in its black gaze. Hansel thought back to the boy's father, and suddenly he remembered that tear hanging from the end of his nose. "Your father misses you too," he told them. Suddenly the claws on the swallow's feet softened, and their thin black legs began to lengthen and grow thick. Wings stretched outward until fingers appeared at their ends, and then there were wrists, elbows, shoulders, and all the rest. The swallow's black eyes paled, their feathers turned to hair and clothes, and finally, in a circle around Hansel and Gretel, stood 7 brothers. "He misses us?" the littlest one asked. Hansel and Gretel, amazed by the transformation, nodded dumbly. The boys began to rejoice, and after a fit of hugging and laughing and cheering, the eldest turned to Hansel and Gretel and invited them into the Crystal Mountain, where they all drank warm milk and ate black forest cookies and talked late into the evening. The next day, the brothers invited Hansel and Gretel to return home with them. Hansel and Gretel said they wanted to talk it over. As soon as they were alone, Hansel said, "I don't want to, Gretel. I don't want to go with them." Gretel nodded solemnly. Hansel sat down heavily on the ground. I don't want to live with a father that could do something like that to his children." He thought back to all the other parents he had known. His own father had cut off his head. The baker woman had tried to eat Gretel. And then this new father had wished his sons into birds. Gretel was thinking the same thing. She felt the space on her hand where her finger had been. She looked up at Hansel. He was leaner and stronger than she'd ever seen him. They had both grown much over the difficult journey to the Crystal Mountain. "Perhaps we don't need parents at all," she said. "Perhaps we can take care of ourselves."
"Yes," Hansel cried, leaping to his feet. "Let's live without any terrible parents at all."
And so the two brave children, now a little older and a lot wiser, and with only 19 fingers between them, set off into the world to find a life that they could call their own. I won't even bother saying the end anymore. You know it isn't. As for the next story, it is really dark. Frightening things happen. You may feel upset. I'm talking to the big kids now. As for the little ones, if they're still around, I warn you, I plead with you. Make them go away. Don't let them hear this story. They may have nightmares. No, they will have nightmares. At least read it for yourself first. Then if you think they can take it, maybe you can read it to them. And then you have only yourself to blame if they can't sleep for a week. But that's for another time.